This is Morgan Rose with New Soul Radio, a collaborative project between Norman Mayers and myself, Progressive Soul and Electronica here in Los Angeles. And so glad to have in the studio with me this evening, Miss Havana.
Hello.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming down all the way from San Diego. Glad to have you in studio. She is here to talk to us about her music, her journey, and her upcoming show at the Little Temple Bar.
Right.
Here in Los Angeles, part of Strictly Social Events. So we're going to play a little bit of your music, and then we're going to talk to you about okay. Havana, all things Havana. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Havana is my guest in studio, New Soul Radio. Morgan Rhodes and Norman Mayers putting these things together, Progressive Soul and Electronica. I want to talk to you about your debut project, 2005, Life, Living, and Fearless Emotion. Tell me about 2005. What was 2005 like for you as a debut artist?
It was, I guess you could say, experimental, and I was excited. We were messing around with some music from Wajid and Nicolay and came together with that whole project just kind of by accident. it started with one song called Shine, and that single did really well. So it just took off, and someone was like, you guys should just put an album out. So we were like, okay, let's do it. And we put that out, and it was finally done in 2005, and that's when we released it. And, you know, it's just kind of exciting.
Heretofore, had you planned on releasing a full album, or were you going to do an EP or a single? How did it get to be a full project?
We didn't even plan any of that. It was just like, you know, Kaji knew Wajid, and Wajid had some beats, and Kaji did, you know, some website work, and it was like, oh, hey, I have a friend who sings, and we'd like to have one of your beats in exchange for the work. And that song came out good, and then Nicolay heard me singing over one of his beats and then just sent a couple more, and it just kind of turned into this whole thing. It was not even planned. It was just kind of like a big accident. So for it to come together like that, it was just, it's really, really, like, I guess, spontaneous.
Right. Meant to be.
Yes.
For sure.
Destined.
For those of us that don't know about your background, tell us about your experience in music and your journey as an artist from little to now.
Right. I started singing in church. Like, I know everybody says that, but honestly, I think everyone starts off in the children's choir. And there was a woman there who thought I could do really well in classical music. So at, I'd say maybe 11 years old, she took me out of children's choir and started, she actually paid for me to have classical training. And I started singing with San Diego Opera and did an opera there. And I thought that was where I was supposed to be because I was really good at classical music. But when Mary J. Blige came out with What's the 411, and I realized that I wanted to be a contemporary R&B singer. That's what I thought I wanted to be. And so we started doing a lot of talent shows around town, me and a girlfriend of mine named Queen. And she's actually in the Bay Area and does her own thing now, too. I know some of you guys know her. And it just took off from there. I dealt with a lot of crazy managers and a lot of studio time that turned into nothing and kind of gave up on it. And then, you know, 5 years later, ended up hooking up with Kaji and coming out with the Life album. So,
how was the transition from singing classical music to future soul or soul music?
You know, difficult. At the time, everyone was so soulful and neo-soul and, you know, Lauryn Hill and all that. And my voice, my voice is nowhere near as soulful. I mean, I have soul, but it's a different type. It's not that sound that everyone, you know, that is so-called black or ethnic, you know, I don't have that sound. And I always thought it was holding me back from being the artist that I really wanted to be. And I think over the years, I've started to accept my sound, and I knew that there was a place in music for me. And now I really feel like music's going in a direction that I can actually flow along with it and become the artist and develop into the artist that I want to be. So I'm taking this, you know, one day at a time, album by album. I just want to develop a little bit more and turn into the person that I'm supposed to be.
A lot's been written about, you know, your honesty in mm-hmm. your lyrics and mm-hmm. Really coming from a place of vulnerability and talking about your past.
Right. With Life, I think I wasn't as honest as I've become. The first album was more so, I want to put together a pretty project that people will like, and I wasn't really concerned about what was going on with me. It was like, I just want to put out some good music and, you know, oh, this sounds great with this beat. Let me just write a song about this. Or this song sounds like love. I'll write a song about love or whatever. For the new album, Intervention, I finally realized that I actually had some things that I needed to air. And I kind of dealt with it beforehand and was going through it and really hadn't decided what I wanted to do for the next project. And one day this light bulb went off in my head. It's like, wait a minute, you kind of have a story and a message that you really need to share with everyone else. So I don't know how many albums I'm going to get out of this drama that I go through, but this is the first one. And it just came to me one day to do that. And so every now and then I would write a song when it came to me about what was going on with me and my mother and my father or whatever I was going through at the time. And a song would pop up and I would just write it. And that's how it kind of came to be.
Well, you have worked with, certainly in the first album and second, the really impressive group of producers. Mm-hmm. And producers that are not pure soul. You got Wajid, of course, mm-hmm. you got GB that you worked with, you got mm-hmm. Brooke DeLobe, mm-hmm. Jay Davey, mm-hmm. And Nicolay, right? How did you hook up with those guys? Was it just your sensibilities? Were you going in an electronic, soulful direction, or was it faded like the rest of sort of your journey?
I pretty much walk through life in... see everything as signs and, you know, destiny and fate. And so it was faded. I think the Wajid and Nicolay thing was faded with Kaji meeting them online and being from Detroit and whatnot. And then, you know, the whole GB, Trackademics, Brooke, that was all just, you know somebody that says, hey, we want to work with you, or, you know, you're such a great person. And I was a huge fan of Jay Davey. And I don't even know. We went to a few shows, talked to them, and then found out that we all kind of had the same circle of friends in the music biz. So Track is friends with them, and then my sister Vosh is friends with them. So it just kind of, you know, kind of came together, and it was like destined. And then GB actually sent me some beats for the first album, and, you know, it's kind of weird. We never really got to use it, and that was like 04. And then finally this time around, you know, it was spot on. A couple songs he had was just perfect, so we ended up working with him. So I kind of walk through, I don't really go through and say, oh, this person's super awesome, I want to work with them. You know, if I get a chance to bump into somebody that I think is awesome, then it's like, wow, it was meant for us to work together. And so recently I got introduced to After One. We ended up performing together, and to me that was a sign. So we both were like, okay.
Very extremely talented,
right?
Brother, extremely
right.
I want to play a few tracks. I'm going to play a couple of tracks from Life, mm-hmm. and then we're going to come back and talk about performances, okay. What it's like doing your shows. So pleased to be in studio with Miss Havana, here to share snippets of goodness from her life and her journey and her music. This is New Soul Radio, Morgan Rhodes, courtesy of Norman Mayers, and we'll be right back.
Close your eyes, don't sleep. don't wink or close your eyes, don't sleep all day.
In studio with Miss Havana, and a show is imminent, July the 21st.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And tell us who you'll be performing with.
Russell Taylor.
Okay.
And I think there's a few other people that were added that I didn't know about at the time, so.
Now, this is part two, because you did Strictly Social in
yeah.
San Diego.
Yeah.
How was that? Talk about that.
I didn't make that awesome. Show. That was awesome. After One and Andre Power, we did that together. And Andre made this beautiful picture of Mother Earth, you know, and it was the form of a black woman with, you know, just pretty much looking at Earth, planet Earth. And it was just a beautiful painting. He did all that while After One did his thing on the machine. And so that was awesome. That was a really cool show.
What's it like on stage? I've spoken to so many artists this year and last year that have, you know, told me that it's not only a place for performing, it's a relationship, it's building something with the audience. We just had Eric Rico here a couple mm-hmm. of weeks ago, and he was talking about really the responsibility of an artist to not just perform,
right,
but to involve
right.
The audience.
Well, I have to be honest, I feel like I'm still at a growing point when it comes to, you know, performing live. I feel like, you know, everybody has their stuff. And I think that, and this is the reason why I had to deal with intervention the way I did. Over the years, I've learned how to deal with pain and hide things and push things deep inside. So when I started to perform, I was performing the way I thought people wanted to see me perform. And it was my act. It was my, okay, you know, put your hand out, you need to point. It wasn't really Havana digging deep in her soul and then giving it to the audience. And I'm just going to be honest, because it doesn't make sense to sit here and be like, oh yeah, I'm so awesome and I just really like to feel people. You know, I know a lot of people say that. But for me, this is why I love this, because I'm not where I want to be yet. And not money-wise, not fame, but just as a performer, this is a journey for me, and I want to be able to touch people with my music and my performance. And I feel like personally I haven't gotten to where I want to be performance wise and so digging deep and opening up about what's going on with me will allow me to open up more on stage as well, and, you know, just open up my whole soul and say, look, this is me, this is what's going on with me, and now I can share it with you, where before it was kind of like I was doing what I thought you wanted to see. So now, even when, you know, on days when I'm super nervous, I have crazy stage fright, I get on stage and I'm like, oh, I mean, shaking, lips, you know, quivering, and, you know, everything in me. But that gives off that energy. A lot of people started saying, you know, we love that humble you. We totally love that image. And I'm like, that's not an image. I'm really nervous. But people have started to like that, and I think allowing people to know how vulnerable I really am. I'm not this amazing person just hopping on stage. I'm perfect. There's nothing wrong with me. I can perform. You know, just letting them know, hey, I'm really trying to share a message with you, and I'm really trying my hardest to open up and give you what it is that I've been trying to share. And it's going to take work to do that. And so I'm really digging deep to get there.
I think one of the things that Norman Mayer is trying to do is he's trying to showcase future soul artists and give them the room to be, you know, experimental, to grow.
Right.
He's trying to showcase them. I'm trying to talk to them.
Right.
And about things that are personal and that are meaningful.
I feel like Norman is, I wish there were like 45 more Normans, because it's so difficult to, you know, get the word out about events and people that are really trying to promote the underground. And I call it the underground because I really feel like it is. I mean, I feel like right now where I am, this is where I want to be. I've had the opportunity to, you know, sign a deal here and sign a deal there. And we want to just change your music. We love your voice. We want to change your music. How about you just sing? How about we send you in with Dark Child? You know, I like this right here. This is where I want to be. This is my playing field. And so Norman and events like that that allow us to come in and perform and share on this level, I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome. And I feel like it'll just grow.
Well, let's hear a little bit more of your music.
Okay.
This is New Soul Radio. Miss Havana's in studio talking about life and music. And you don't want to go anywhere. We'll be right back. San Diego. What's the soul scene like in San Diego, and what has life been like in San Diego?
San Diego, it's very slow, laid back, relaxed, and beautiful. And, you know, I was born and raised there. I love it. That's the part of it, you know, everyday living is perfect. But on the other hand, the soul scene is very small. I wish that we could get, you know, a spot going consistently, you know, in San Diego. But right about now, the only thing you have are 4th and B, House of Blues, and Belly Up. And you're pretty much only going to get bigger artists there. You know, I've done a couple things at House of Blues and a couple things at Belly Up, but that's only when I tagged on to somebody who was, you know, coming in. They didn't have anybody at the last minute. Call Havana. So I was able to open up for Rafael Sadiq and, you know, did a couple things at Belly Up with Blackalicious and whatnot. But those are people that are, like, there, but they're still kind of, I mean, as far as Blackalicious, they're still kind of on the underground. So, yeah, San Diego needs a little bit of help when it comes to the soul scene.
How do you feel about the future of soul?
I'm excited. I just feel like there's a lot of freedom now. The way that all the producers are going with their music, especially out here, I just feel like they're opening up doors that I think have never been opened. And every time I hear something new, I'm like, oh my God, that's so awesome, you know? And so I'm pretty excited about that, and I'm just ready to work. It just makes me feel really good to be a part of it.
I always say that the first album is the first date.
Right.
And the sophomore album is the relationship.
Right.
There were 5 years between Life and
right.
Intervention. What took you so long to go from date
right.
to relationship?
I had planned on coming right back out with another album. And then I started having some health issues. So I kind of had to put a hold on recording. And so it kind of kept me from doing what I wanted to do. I kind of wasn't able to perform as much anymore. And I kind of wanted to get a grasp and a hold on my health. And I started realizing that that wasn't really going to happen right away. So then I just kept working and writing when I could. And I did a little bit here, a little bit there. So some of these songs go all the way back to, you know, right after 2005. And then a couple are, you know, last year and the year before. So for me, some of it, you know, you get tired of hearing the same old song. You're like, oh, I'm ready to go to the next album. I've been working on this forever. But that's why. And also, before I got kind of ill, I did a lot of musicals. I did Aida, Ragtime, and Dreamgirls. And I really wanted to just be a little versatile and do something else with my voice at the same time while I was kind of on hold. So I did a little bit of soul searching and some stuff here and there, and then kind of took a break from my health.
Did you have a chance to catch the Tonys? Did you watch the Tonys?
No, I did not.
This was a really good year for black folks in theater because,
right.
of course, Viola Davis won a Tony. Denzel won a Tony, I think, for Fences. And then Fela got a lot of, you know, recognition. Is theater something that you see in your long-term future as an artist? Would you like to return to that or make that a big part of your career?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm actually in The Wiz coming up in San Diego. Now, that's something that's really strong in San Diego's musical theater is, like, all over the place. I'm doing The Wiz. I'm at a Pearl.
Nice.
So I get to sing, he's a Wiz. So I'm excited about doing that.
Nice.
And I was thinking about auditioning for Wicked. And so I definitely am going to, you know, however I can balance the two, I'll probably do both.
I was reading that you wore a t-shirt
yes.
with Havana and sort of it stuck there.
Yes.
Want to ask if you've heard, because of course I'm thinking of Cuba.
Right.
Have you heard the album Cuba Aftermarket?
No.
If you get a chance, you should pick up Cuba Aftermarket. It's DJ Roddy Rod,
mm-hmm.
and he's got a few artists on there, including mm-hmm. Wayna and Musina.
Okay,
it's a
I'm
great
familiar with Musina. Didn't they do a song together, Musina and Wayna?
They did.
Was it
Billy Club? Billy Club, yeah.
That, I love that song.
Yeah.
I really love that song. Okay, so I just wanted to make sure I had the right people.
You
I
do
mean,
have...
the right, the Wayna, the collab that they did together on that song was awesome.
If you had your pick, where would you want your album in a record store?
Wow.
What section would you want?
That's so hard. I would say You know, I would say it needs to be in more than one section. Life would probably go in the soul, and this would probably end up in pop, just because I know the way that people stereotype things. I think that it would end up in pop, and somebody else would think it would belong in alternative.
Let's play a little bit of Intervention so our listeners know what you're talking about. I am in studio with Miss Havana. This is New Soul Radio, a collaborative project between Norman Mayers and myself of Strictly Social. And we'll be right back.
Forget about the simple things, so complicated.
To talk to you about Matched Frantic. I know that the track Not Affected was originally supposed to be part of that project.
Right.
Are you still working with that group? And tell us a little bit about that. Tell the listeners.
Matched Frantic is a friend of mine named Benny and I, and we kind of formed that group when I was like bored and I had finished Life. And I wasn't ready to jump right back into my own album. I wanted to do something different. And we had been talking about working together for a long time. And so he would come over and we pretty much finished the album in, I'd say, about 2 months. And it was done. From there, I kind of got sick and we kind of like, okay, well, let's just chill. We'll put it out as soon as everything gets better. Everything's cool, whatever. Then people started asking for Havana again, and I kind of felt obligated to release the second Havana album because my health kind of got in the way of releasing everything sooner. So we decided to hold on that, put out the Havana album, and put out Match Frantic right afterwards. So Affected is one of our songs off the album. I feel like that album is amazing. He's a great rapper. He is a poet as well. He's awesome. And I think the combination of us together just, you know, really show two passionate artists that love music working together and created an awesome sound. And what we're talking about has meaning. It's not like just, you know, mumbo jumbo, we just want to come out with an album. No, but it's there's some really, really good topics that we talk about, and the album is awesome. So I'm hoping within the next year we can get that out.
Also want to talk to you about Feel My Love.
Oh,
you hooked up with one of my favorite producers,
Zao.
Yes. How did that come about?
Oh, well, Kaji, my manager, is from Detroit, born and raised, and had a lot of ties there, friends and different things like that. And how did we link? You knew Zao? Okay, so Kaji made the link with Zao somehow through his Detroit connections, you know, friends knowing each other, and ended up meeting up with him when he went to Detroit for a family emergency and came back with music.
Nice.
And I sat around one night and Feel My Love was, that was it. It was done.
And I think, isn't there an Opalopo remix of
yes,
that?
Yes, Opalopo remix. I don't even know how that came about. This is all like destined stuff, because it's like, I don't, you know, it's, I'm like, how do we even meet Opalopo? You know, people would think that we sat and strategically figured out these different plans, but, you know, he wanted to do a remix because he had heard, you know, the album, and he wanted to do a remix. So that's how that happened, and he did the remix.
And that's San Diego to Sweden.
Right.
So that's like one hell
awesome.
Of a connection, right?
Yeah, because even the Nicolay thing, you know, Nicolay was all the way in the Netherlands.
Amsterdam, yeah.
Yeah, when we were doing our stuff. And I had never met Nicolay until he actually came to LA for a boombox. And that was only like, what, two or three years ago? So, yeah, 2 years ago. And we had worked together since 2002 or three. Just over internet.
Right. And now he's, you know, North Carolina, down
oh
foreign
gosh,
exchange.
Oh, my gosh. Grammy nominated.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
And this is another thing. A lot of DJs and I were talking about, you know, the Grammy category, Urban Alternative.
Right.
And while it's new, it's sort of a baby category and it's growing, it's a wonderful time to recognize artists
right.
who probably would not fit into other categories
right.
or otherwise would not be. So it's very, very encouraging
mm-hmm.
To see that sort of recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's June 25th. I don't know when this is going to air, but this is the 1 year anniversary of Michael Jackson's passing. And a lot of artists spoke, you know, today and last year about their favorite Michael Jackson song. When you think of Michael Jackson, what's the song you hear in your head first? What do you hum?
I think Human Nature is the one. I just, you know, even when, you know, I went to go see This Is It, I just, tears when I heard that song. It's just like, oh my gosh. So I think that's my favorite Michael Jackson song, Human Nature.
How does your own life inform, you know, your lyrics? How do the experiences with your family and as a mother, correct?
Mm-hmm.
How does that inform what you write about, what you sing about?
Wow. I just feel like there's so many girls that are going through, have been through, will go through what I've been through. I just feel like I can share this and remind them that they're not the only one going through that. And I think it's so, you know, we watch television and we listen to the radio, and there's so many of these like phony expectations that we have for our lives, you know, our family, our bodies, everything, you know. And I just feel like music needs to be the one place that you can go and say, everything's gonna be okay. You know, she went through this too. She went through this. And I think about, you know, people who did that for me. Janet Jackson, When You're Lonely, you remember Lonely?
Yeah.
I used to, when my dad was in jail and my mother was running off doing whatever, I used to play that song because, I mean, that really just touched my soul. A person all alone is an unhappy one. You need somebody near to love us. You know, I just, those types type of songs are the songs that really pull people through. And I just really want to do the same thing for everyone else. Like, if there's a song I can write that can make you feel like everything's okay and it's going to be okay, and what you're going through, you're not isolated, you're not alone, that would be my number one goal.
Who do you like now that's out in any genre?
Oh, wow. I'm really, really, really digging Little Dragon. I love Quadron, Jay Davey, Janelle Monae. After one, I have Form.
Form's amazing.
I have Form.
Form's amazing.
There's so many people that are not mainstream that are out. Like, if I went through my iTunes, it would be out. A lot of people would be like, we don't even know who that is,
right.
You know?
Right.
But I'm really into all those people right now. I love the music, and I just love how it's not really defined, and there's not a rhyme or reason to exactly what it is they're doing with the music. There's no rules, you know. It doesn't have to be chorus versus chorus, or, you know, and those are things that I'm still working on as an artist. Like, okay, I don't have to do it this way. It doesn't matter if everyone doesn't understand where I'm coming from, you know, by just only saying two words. And so I really like that. And that just makes me so excited to work on the next project, because I'm like, okay, well, what are you going to do now? You've got all this motivation, inspiration coming out around you. And when you listen to music and it does that for you, that's when you know it's good. So
do you feel like with this latest project with Intervention, you accomplished everything you wanted to accomplish musically, spiritually, artistically?
Yes. This time around, I feel like I did. And now I'm ready. I'm so ready to do the next thing. So ready.
And you called it Intervention because?
Because I came to the realization that my life isn't going to be what I expected it to be. I feel like sometimes we hold on to the past and we hold on to things thinking that one day this will change, one day that will change. And with Intervention, it was like, wake up and realize and accept that your past is your past, your present and your present is your present, and you're not really going to be able to change any of that. It's time for you to wake up. And it was my own personal intervention and therapy on that album. Havana's second album is a little bit more fearless. I'm just doing what I want to do. This is a concept album. This is what I'm going through. This is me. So,
what does living in fearless emotion cost? What has it cost
right.
you? And what are the benefits?
I think living in fearless emotion, I carry that around with me. Like, that's my badge, you know. But letting it out is a step in the right direction towards healing. And that's the benefit. But, you know, it hurts at the same time. It's a bittersweet, because I'm like, you know, I want to hold on to that part so bad, because I'm like, okay, that made me who I am. You know, I really wanted this, wanted that. I have to let go of that. So, you know, I've lost that. I've lost the past that I've been holding on so hard to. But I'm gaining, you know, I'm healing myself. I'm in a healing process and becoming the person that I'm going to be. So I'm excited about that. Also, bringing light to a dark situation is something that I think is a benefit of it. And so I think all of that is fearless.
What can we expect from this album? What should we look forward to?
Look forward to me sharing, like, all the drama, but over beats that make you feel like there is healing going on. You know, one thing that I didn't want to do was write an album that really made somebody feel so down and depressed. And, you know, we love those. You know, I love Mary J. Blige for her honesty and her realness. And, you know, there's songs that I listen to and I'm like, Tuesday we played a game, you know, and you're like all into it. And, you know, that's her. I think for me, I just really wanted it to feel like there was healing going on, that at the end of the song, you're like, wow, she talked about drama, but she sounds like she's okay. You know, she sounds like she's happy because she's singing about it. And so it's so ironic, because you have all this horrible stuff going on over these awesome beats that make you feel like, am I supposed to dance to this? Or like, am I supposed to be bobbing my head and feeling good about this? And yeah, you are, because, you know, there's resolution there, you know? So I think that that's what intervention is going to do.
Tell us how to get in touch with you.
Twitter, it's at Sounds of Havana. Facebook is Havana and then, you know, apostrophe intervention. I don't know how long that'll stay, because when I start the next album, that'll change. But right now it's intervention, and that's with an E. And there's a soundsofhavana.com. And then I have my Tumblr, which is Sounds of Havana. So everything is pretty much Sounds of Havana.
Okay.
and
when does intervention drop?
I believe late July.
Okay.
Late July. And, you know, I keep adding songs. Like, it got held up because I added one more song. And, you know, I keep thinking, okay, I'm done. And then something awesome happens. And, you know, I'm like, oh, my God, we're going to add this song. And I'm fighting with Kaji. He's like, no, we don't want to add this song. We're done. We've mastered everything. We're not going back in the studio. And then I, like, write the song. And he's like, okay, we'll go back in the studio. So we're done. Everything's mastered and finished and artwork's ready. It's just all about us making sure that it's right and it feels right. I'm all about how it feels. You know, I'm not one to set a date and be like, oh, this is the date, you know, we're going to go just because it needs to be, you know, promoted. But I'm more so, okay, this feels right. I've listened to it for the, you know, 1,000th time and I'm ready. So that's how I work.
What's music been to you?
Oh, my God. Whew. I don't know where I would be. I really don't know where I would be if it wasn't for music. You know, I was caught up in so much drama as a child that, I mean, there was a time when I was out thieving and running the streets with hoodlums and, you know, but then on the other end, it was like, oh, there's a talent show. That passion for that music kept me, you know, straight and narrow, because it was like, oh, don't you want to do a talent show? Well, you can't do this. You have to rehearse with so-and-so tonight because you're going to be. And then in the times that I was lonely, feeling depressed, I think it just kind of kept me, you know, from doing a lot of crazy things. You know, if there wasn't music, I probably would be just, I don't know. I don't even know.
I was reading an interview with Tony Orlando, and he was saying, yeah, you know, it doesn't matter how many albums I've had, the big shows or the small shows, someone's always going to want to hear Tie a Yellow Ribbon. Mm-hmm. And that's the song that defines, you know, him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, based on what you've done so far, what do you think is the song that defines you?
Wow. I hear Shine all the time. I get emails about Shine even now, 5 years later. A lot of people know how it feels when you don't want to get out of bed that day. You know, you just feel like you could float away. That I really felt that way. And I think that's the song that would be, you know, the one that uplifts people all the time from now forever. Because I even had somebody stop me before, like, you know, that first lyric of that song is what got me through, you know, got me through the day, got me out of bed. And I'm like, wow, it's just so amazing. Because to me, you know, I was just thinking, oh, I'm just going to write this. This is just how I feel today. I hate it. But other people love it. And I think that's the song that will define me.
Get to Know Miss Havana. At least the first album is available on iTunes.
Yes.
Right now. Life.
Yes.
Intervention will be available in July. And you can see her at the Little Temple Bar. If you're in the Los Angeles area, please do check her out on July the 21st. Tell us again who you'll be performing with.
Russell Taylor.
Russell Taylor. This part of the Strictly Social events going on in Los Angeles and San Diego. And I think Norman is hoping to expand. Very important to support underground artists. It's been a great pleasure to have
you
in studio. Parting words for you, Havana.
Everyone be blessed. That's really all I can say. Spread love and be blessed. And I gave all the sites and everything. But thank you for having me here. And thanks,
absolutely.
Norman. He's awesome. Love you. And shout out to everyone out there supporting underground music.
Thank you so much. Again, Miss Havana, Intervention is the new project. Do check it out. And make yourself available to things going on in and around the city. We've got a great lineup of talent here in Los Angeles. Get involved. Do your part. Support these artists and support the things that they're trying to do. My name is Morgan Rolls-Jaw. This is New Soul Radio, a collaborative project between Norman Mayers and myself, Progressive Soul and Electronica. Be blessed and be a blessing. Here's some more of Havana's music as we go out.